Welcome to the airport lounge. Table for two gentlemen? Right this way. Here's your booth. Have a great show.
Welcome to the Airport Lounge, the Winnipeg Jets podcast, much like Sammy Niku this season, without a point. I'm Mike Guthrie, and I'm joined by my good friend and former Evander Kane accountant, Vaughn Mitchell. How's it going, Vaughn?
It's going well. I'm excited to talk some Jets, especially after 7-1 loss. Perfect timing, right?
We picked a bad day to record. This episode might be a little more negative than usual, but who am I kidding? I'm going to be generally negative. So, why are we here? Well, one of us is qualified to talk sports on a podcast, and the other person is me. My list of bona fides are short. I guess I coach a six-year-old hockey team, Go Wolves. I don't yell shoot on every Jets power play, and I have a Wi-Fi password. So that's about it. Joking aside, I love the Jets, and I'm passionate about it. I know Vaughn is, and I know our friend group is. And we often exchange passionate messages back and forth, and we thought this would be fun. It'd be a great outlet to chat about the team that we love and follow the ups and downs of their season and hopefully into the playoffs. Vaughn, how about you?
Yeah, I'm really excited to do this as well. We've been season ticket holders since the Jets came back, and that's led to a lot of, you know, nights out and conversations both before and after the game in the pub. And that's what I hope we can capture here, is just that really spirited and you know, raw conversation that you have amongst friends, and hopefully there's some laughs and hopefully there's some good points. I really think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can see the game and bring up interesting points, because, you know, it's hard on the mainstream media. They have to be there every day. They have to manage these relationships with the team, with the players, and we're not burdened by that. We can say what we want. We're not reliant on access journalism. So, and I don't imagine this to be, you know, something where we really rip the players or rip the coaches, but just an honest, witty exchange of, you know, trying to be a part of making sense of what we're seeing on the ice and in the community, and then hopefully sharing some laughs along the way. So I know I've really enjoyed our conversations and thought that excellent points have been made. And if in some small way we can, you know, share those insights and ideas and crazy ideas sometimes with others and they can enjoy it, then that's awesome. But really, you know, just doing this is the fun part, right? And if someone else listens to it and enjoys it, that's even a bonus. But I'm going to love doing it because I love the Jets.
Right, and when you get sick of me in 2 weeks, then we'll call it a wrap.
Mike, we've been friends for 30 years, and I was sick of you 30 years ago. So, no, I'm just kidding.
A podcast isn't going to put us over the edge.
Exactly, especially because it's not in person. You know, once we return, if we ever do this in person, it might change.
We thought we'd start with kind of a funny story. Back in 2012, as Vaughn mentioned, we're season ticket holders, and you and me and our good friend Rich were at the Florida Panthers game, and I had been railing, I think we all had to a certain extent, been railing against Nick Antropov, and I was not a fan, and as it was our want at the time, we were several beverages in, and I was lamenting over Nick Antropov's play quite loudly, and everyone in our section was kind of chiming in, and then he scored a pretty nice goal, and everyone was sort of razzing me, and I think you guys were razzing me, and in response to that, I said, well, if Nick Antropov scores the next goal, I'll get Antropov in the back of my jersey, because I had a blank jersey at the time. Sure enough, second period, he comes in, and a very nice goal, and it was hockey night in Canada, wasn't it?
It was, and I don't even know if you know this, but that moment was captured on Hockey Night in Canada. People told me the next day and the week after that they had seen us jumping up and down, Rich and I, because we were so excited that Nick Antropov had scored that second goal, and now you must fulfill your commitment of getting his name and number on your jersey. And I would just like to share with our listeners that we had to put up nothing on this. There's not a bet, like, or if he de- like we That's have to pay like $20 or That's whatever. It's like your deal making skills, Mike, are legendary. And that you wagered everything with nothing to gain, but little did we know at the time, that this would parlay itself into something that's actually pretty cool. Like, you know, as we've chatted, this story has even, you know, bumping into some other lawyers that Mike worked with at the time and sharing the story with them on that night, this has been the gift that's kept on giving. And Mike, I'll leave it to you to share you know, what happened recently with Nick Antropov and yourself.
Right. So back in 2012, they still had the printing names. So I went down literally after that goal, gave them my jersey. They printed Antropov on the back, and I came back for the third with the jersey, and I've had it since, and I still wear it to some games, and I think a lot of fans don't even know who Antropov is. And just recently, I had a birthday, and Rich and Bon and our buddy John got me a gift, and I'm going to play it for you, because this was one of the best gifts I've ever received.
Hey, Mike. Former Winnipeg Jet here, Nick Antropov. Or Andropov, from what I heard. You bought a jersey of mine between the periods of Winnipeg Jets versus Florida Panthers game on January 21st, 2012. And it says Andropov, A-N-D-R-O-P-O-V. Come on, man. I hope you got the number right at least, no? Number 80? I hope so. Just kidding. Anyway, I heard from Reed, John, and Vaughn, your buddies, that it is your birthday. So I just want to wish you a happy birthday. All the best to you, buddy. Stay healthy and enjoy that special day. I hope you can enjoy it with your friends and family. I know it's a tough time right now with the pandemic and stuff going on, but like I said, just happy birthday, buddy. Have a good day. And actually, look at this, man. I think this is the game when you bought your Andropov jersey.
Happy birthday. Anyway, that was it, and it was a fantastic gift
out of the blue.
Out of the blue, and we don't do that, right? Like as boys, we don't acknowledge birthdays. And when I saw that in my inbox, I thought for sure, I was like, okay, someone's fucking with me here. Like, there's no way this is legit. And then I played it, and I literally was doing backflips in my office. It was a fantastic gift. And now, you know, not only that, but the jersey lives on. So that was it was super fun.
It's a great story, and the thing with the jersey is like everything else. For a while, it was so out of style that it's now back in style. Like you were the uncool kid to wear the Antropov jersey for a while, but now it's come right back around. You're the coolest kid in Bell MTS Place when you put on your Antropov jersey.
And there were some rough times, like for about 2 years after that, where people would stop me and be like, are you related to Antropov? Because there's literally no other reason to have an Antropov jersey. And I found another guy at one point who had one, and I tried to chase him down through the corridor, and I could never find him. But I saw an Antropov jersey, and I was like, we must be kindred spirits.
Or people that don't bet, or bet with a lot more with their heart than their brain.
Not my finest moment in terms of negotiating and betting.
Not in negotiation, but a fine moment that, again, you know, gave back to us many years later. And I'm happy that you found it enjoyable on your birthday, because you're well deserving of it.
Well, so I think what we'll do now is a segment called Check-In Time. And essentially, we want to check in the status of the Winnipeg Jets, where they're at, where we think they should be at, playoff aspirations, all that. I think at the time we're taping, we're 15-8-1, second in the North. What I pulled a few stats. I was looking at some things throughout the week, and the stats kind of, you know, the macro stats kind of back up what you see on television in that, you know, we're in top five in shooting percentage. We're kind of middling on the power play and the PK. Our shot attempt differential is terrible. We're in 26th. As I think many have surmised that we're strong offensively. We have four in the top 30, and our goalie's a Vezina winner. We may have some troubles on the back end. Those are sort of the obvious pain points, but I'm still very excited for this year, and I'm not sure where your optimism level lies.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think this year has certainly been an acquired taste, for sure. It started very curiously in just seeing the Jets kind of get caved game in and game out, and somehow, you know, riding that PDO wave of great goaltending and elite shooting to win a bunch of games. Certainly the Jets are talented. There's lots of talent out there. So, yeah, I'm optimistic, and I think they've been playing better lately. One of the things that, you know, I find hasn't been talked about a lot is just the style of the Jets, in the sense that they're not a volume team. They're not just going to throw the puck at the net. And I know it kind of sounds like I'm suggesting that other teams just game the system and that they throw pucks at the net so that they get good stats, so that it sort of fools everyone to thinking they're doing better than they really are. And I know that the heat maps and different things suggest different, but the Jets are very stingy in terms of taking shots. They're just not going to throw it to the net. They want to work the puck around. And I'm not defending that. They're just a team that has really resisted moving to a volume-based format in terms of generating offense. Again, not defending it, but it explains. I think some of the differential we're seeing is slightly exaggerated. Now, they're certainly riding a wave of high shooting percentage and great goaltending, without a doubt. But, you know, some of these other teams, that's all they're doing. They're just throwing the puck at the net. And so it's been a curious start, because you've had a lot of good outcomes. The record looks really good. But there hasn't been a ton of games where I've been, wow, I've enjoyed that game. You know what I mean? There's been a few, but not a lot. And, you know, I think what we saw last night in Montreal was just when everything dries up, things can good look, can cannot look very good, because our process isn't very good. And so I'm optimistic because of the talent, and we are doing some things better. Guys like Dylan DeMello are starting to play better. Neil Pionk has been pretty good. Even Josh Morrissey, his numbers are not great, but he's starting to come around a little bit. So, you know, I'm optimistic. You know, the D's jumping up a little bit more in the play. But again, it's not super entertaining, in the sense that we do a lot more, seem to spend a lot more time in our zone than in the offensive zone. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, well, and if I can boil your thoughts down, you're saying that everyone who relies on sabermetrics is a moron, and that we've rigged the system, and that Paul Maurice is a genius because he's old school. Yes. Gritty. Is that, did I summarize that correctly?
Yes, exactly.
No,
exactly.
I agree. It is painful to watch sometimes, and obviously the coming off the 7-1 loss, like, that's what happens when your goalies don't play well. And we run a very precarious line, right? Where if our goalies aren't at the top of their game and we don't get the sniping that we usually do, that's what happens. But, you know, 15-8-1 teams probably shouldn't get pumped 7-1. And I understand it, like, these kind of games happen, right? There are lapses, but I've noticed we're a tweak away from those kind of games at all times. We've just happened to get on a, you know, 2-goal, 3-goal scoring streak, because we have really good talent up front, and we can do that. I'm worried that come playoff time, the checking gets tighter, the spacing gets tighter, and now the 4 or 5 goals that you're getting, you're down to 3, and we've shown consistently that if our goaltending isn't A1, the teams are going to put the puck at the back of the net.
Yeah, and you can't discount that other teams are literally collapsing. Like, Ottawa is a tire fire. You know, there's something like minus 30 in terms of goal differential. You know, Calgary's fired their coach. They're about to jump off of a cliff in Vancouver. You know, Edmonton is they can't quite figure out who they are yet, but yet they have the best player in the world. You know, Montreal has fired their coach. You know, and we haven't played. We played Toronto once and lost. So I think the jury's still out. I do think that, you know, I think Scheifele has been fantastic this year.
Yeah, agreed.
Much has been said about Wheeler, and, you know, maybe we'll talk about him another time. You know, I feel Nick Ehlers is a really great player. I think Connor has been even more engaged in skating harder and more involved. So, you know, there's some, and our third line is outstanding, and we're getting contributions even from our fourth line at times. Appleton is really, I mean, there's a lot to be excited. Oh, did I touch a?
We have a later segment, you know, small tease on Paul Maurice, and I've got some Nate Thompson thoughts. And so I get it. I get that our fourth line, you know, AKA Perreault has been contributing, but Nate Thompson can go suck rocks. He's the Matt Hendricks of this era.
We'll get to that.
He's
a big guy. Are we ready to talk about the Line A trade? Or
before we do, Vaughn, I didn't tell you this, but I did manage to procure a sponsor for our inaugural episode. I think you're going to like it. You've spent some time here. Are you too old for Tinder, but still enjoy casual encounters? Are you prone to wearing tank tops to a nightclub? Then the Palomino Club is for you. Come on Monday for Booty Shake Mondays. Not you though, dads. Your daughter will be undoing 20 years of parenting. The Palomino Club. Your parents likely met there. Yes, I wanted this segment is called Why Jack Roslovic is the Best Player in the NHL. Go.
Oh, wow. You know, it's funny. I haven't heard a lot about him and Liney on social media recently. So
they must not be
doing much. But, no, he's a fine player. But, yeah, I'll jump right into Liney and Pierre-Luc Dubois unless you want to have
I want to give people a snapshot into your love of Patrick Laine. You are the fanniest of fanboys. I was somewhat in the middle, and our friends who have tickets with us, Rich and John, are I think more on the lower end. And if I might, we had a text chain going, and you were waxing philosophical about getting your hair cut, and you had a ranking of some of the favorite things in your life currently, and Liney scoring a hat trick was first, relations was second, and getting a haircut was third. So, yeah. Again, it was all in jest, but even I at the time, I was like, that is some strong love for Patrick Liney. So I apologize. I wanted to preface your comments with some of the love that Liney gets from you. Yeah, some context from you.
Yeah, you know, it was it was a Saturday morning, I think, when it happened, and heard the rumors, and it was quite the busy morning. So I had this distraction, and it was good because I do have this, you know, irrational emotional attachment to that guy. I mean, it just comes from he's like an airport, right? Like Winnipeg doesn't have an airport, and yet he's something that we don't deserve, and yet we've somehow been given. And you know, I was just really excited when we drafted him, and obviously, you know, he's been amazing since during his time here in Winnipeg, and that, you know, I just felt that he was the guy that could potentially push us beyond, because he was that special talent, and that's not something that we've had in this town for a long time. And you know, hockey being goal scoring contests and him being an elite goal scorer, that's pretty good. So you know, I'm all in. I have Liney jerseys, I have Liney, you know, posters up on my man cave down here in my basement. You know, I'm a huge Line A fan and sincerely enjoyed him scoring goals on behalf of the team I love, and it just so much fun watching him score goals. And a game where he scored a goal was just a little bit more fun than a game where he didn't.
That's true.
So
I agree.
Yeah, you know, and but when it came down to the trade, you know, there's the emotional side, which is truly irrational and was frustrated and all those types of things. But there's the rational side as well. You know, I know you guys were a lot, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, we're a lot into, like, if he doesn't want to be here, get him out. You know, Line A we're talking about. And Pierre-Luc Dubois was someone that was very intriguing to me. Obviously had a fantastic playoffs last year.
Yeah, you were in on that early. You were, like, on the text chain. You had mentioned that even when the Line A trade was just sort of percolating. And I quite honestly didn't have a great deal of knowledge about how he had been doing, but you'd been on that pretty early.
Yeah. And just when it happened, I was able to really, like, I just wanted to focus on who and what Pierre-Luc Dubois brought and not think about Line A. And I didn't want to read about him on social media, and I didn't want to see the highlights of him, and I didn't want to tune into watch the Columbus Blue Jackets play. I just want to just cut it off and then just focus on who we have here. And, you know, he seems to be a good kid who wants to be here, and he's big and he's a center and all those types of things. He's got a little bit of laziness in his game, I'll tell you, after watching him, but it is still really early. I do think that him and Scheifele down the middle is a really a long-term exciting proposition for the Jets. And as long as they're not in the same building, you know, I'll be fine. But because I can just pretend Line A doesn't exist. Well, he kind of doesn't. He's in Columbus. Does Columbus actually exist? It's a rumor.
It's a rumor. It's like Albuquerque. Yeah. It's one of those things.
Exactly.
So who's you don't think that we're going to play PLD on the wing?
No, I don't. I think he's a center. I don't even. I mean, we can get into this.
I was being a bit facetious because.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, part of the, in terms of hockey strategy, getting a top line center obviously is, you know, other than a D1, is the goal, right? And we did that. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I just, does it suck to give up a generational score as part of that? Sure does. But it solves an issue that we've been trying to trade number one draft picks for 4 or 5 years. And so, on paper, I mean, taking the Roslovic resurgence out of the way, on paper, it makes sense. It's just, you know, one of my concerns was that, not so much that it happened, but why did it happen? Like, this guy's a fan favorite. Bufflin's no longer with us. It's like, why can't we have nice things? And it seemed to me, and Roslovic didn't want to be here, and Trouba didn't want to be here. And the common refrain that you hear is that, oh, you know, it's Winnipeg, and we're a small town, and it's a bit of a shithole. And I don't buy that. I think that some people, there's a culture in our locker room, and it's, you know, again, there's head coach issues that I think some players don't jive with. And I think Line got to the point where it's, I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do here. So I want out. The biggest concern to me is that, has that been addressed, and will that happen again? Like, you nailed it. Like, he's a generational talent, and I think he had improved as a player overall, and he wanted out. And when he came here, like, the dude, all he wants to do is eat ice cream and play Xbox. Like, it's not that hard to make that guy happy, and we pissed him off. How is that possible?
Mm.
Like, get him a bong. I don't know what to do. Like, it's something where I couldn't figure out. What seemed like a pretty laid-back dude was upset and then marred in controversy all the time. It was just, that was my biggest issue. It, you know, again, just on paper, I do think we're better off. It's just, I worry about the underlying issues.
Yeah, you know, and that's fair. That's a great segue into what we were going to talk about next, and that's Paul Maurice. And I've developed a little bit of a theory, and of course it's based on just nuggets of I won't even call it information, but just, you know, just little things you see and things that are said. And I'm wondering, so I won't even put this out as a theory, I'm wondering if Paul Maurice believes that he can win a Stanley Cup with foreign or Finnish players. Because there seems to be generally a common thread here. You know, he doesn't seem to like the international players. I mean, Nick Ehlers has gone through a couple things too, but he's never been the lightning rod that Laine was or Sami Niku was. But you know, I do think that, and maybe that's an oversimplification in the sense that, you know, maybe it's not where you're born, it's how you play. And you know, there is a correlation there. There's not a causation, but the way you play, there's linkages to where you're born. And maybe he just looks at Laine and says, because I do think Paul Maurice has a lot of influence within the organization. Agreed. And I think that he just says, you know what, as good as this guy is, he's going to hurt us in the playoffs, and I'm just not going to play him, or I'm going to put him where he can't succeed. And I mean, you know, there's a story that came out recently about Mike Babcock. The general manager was talking about making a trade, saying, okay, we're going to trade for this guy because I think he'll play really good with this guy we have on our team. And Mike Babcock says, fine, you can trade for him. He's a good player, but I'll never play him with that guy. I'm playing him with that guy. And it's kind of like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
So your general manager and your coach have to be on the same page. And I don't know if they are, because there's these at some point there's some type of disconnect, and that
that's the line. Yeah.
Yeah, the front office is getting the best player available, or they have a philosophy, or whatever the case may be, and these guys get to the coach, and the coach doesn't act like he's on the same page, because you know, I don't think you can look at our history and say that we're a draft and develop team. We are grind, you know, the young players down and bring in old retreads. Look, I actually think, I'm going to make a joke here, then I'll turn it over to you, Mike. I actually think Paul Maurice signs guys like Nate Thompson and then forces to go drinking with them, and then they have to sit around the table while he tells them stories while he gets really drunk or something. Because that's the only thing, because they're not doing anything on the ice. So anyways, that's my little rant. I'll pass it over to you, because I think you're excited to talk about Paul Maurice.
First off, I had a whole bunch of Finnish sponsors lined up for this podcast, and that's gone. Internationally, we've just tanked out of the gate, so way to go on that one. I think, you know, and for 3-4 years, I've been a Pied Pipering this, is that Paul Maurice is fantastic with the media. And he talks hockey really well. He seems like a great guy. And as you alluded to, everyone, I think, would like to have a beer with him. But I think he is still stuck in a mindset of a bygone era. And I remember, I think it was the Nashville series in the playoffs, and Matt Hendricks kept getting time. And it was like, honest to God, I could have been as effective as Matt Hendricks. And Nate Thompson is a new Matt Hendricks. And his glowing praise of Beliveau, and I can't believe we got this far in, and his name hasn't come up. And running 11 forwards and 7D, like, there's just a long history of decision-making and young guys that he sticks on the fourth line, lets them play four games, and sends them back down to the Moose. Like, I know your job is to win, but right now, what's the harm in getting Haskins and Vesalainen out there and getting Hanola in there? Like, you're going to need, if you're going to go for on a playoff run, you're going to need depth. So why not give these young guys the confidence to go out there and get a little NHL experience? Like, they can't possibly be worse than Beliveau. Like, honestly, like, that, I almost had to turn off the game in the 7-1 loss there. I was like, is that Beliveau again? Sure is. Is he on his ass? Yeah. Yes, he is. And I don't understand as a head coach how you could look at that and go, yeah, no, this is good. Let's top pair him. And I think Morrissey and Pionk have suffered to a certain extent because, you know, part of that's talent. We just have a dearth of talent at the D position. But I just can't, like, he's the second longest tenure coach right now in the NHL. And we haven't been past it. Like, you know, we made it the third round there. But, you know, the Tampa Bay coach, they won. And they consistently win. And Montreal, Calgary, they go through dips. And again, I'm not here to play GM and say, you know, there's a specific time and a specific spot that you need to let your coach go. But these guys need a shake. And I can't understand, you know, if he has incriminating evidence on Cheval Dayoff. In my opinion, I think it would do the culture and it would do our development of younger players a world of good to get somebody else in there. And I know it's not fair. Like, it'll be a soft goal by Hellebuck, and I'll somehow find a way to blame Maurice. I get that. But to my mind, there's enough on the resume here that he's got to go.
Yeah, I know you're worked up there because you mispronounced about six Jets names wrong in a row there. So that's awesome. So you already have a record. Yeah. It's Bolio and Harkins, not Hawkins.
Did I say Hawkins? Sorry.
You said Hawkins. It's okay. You just worked up. I love your passion. I think the other thing, and I agree. Here's what keeps me up at night, in that there are a lot of worse coaches out there, and that when you make a coaching change, you need to be going to something as much as you're going away from something, in the sense that, you know, we can literally, and it wouldn't be that hard to make this work, to make it worse, pardon me, to fire Paul Maurice and bring in, oh, I don't know, Daryl Sutter. Like, how excited must Calgary fans be right now? Or
yeah,
whichever side.
That's weak sauce.
So, you know, I've never understood why senior coaches, like coaches that have been around a long time, they seem quite addicted to these veteran players. It's like, you are an expert coach. Coach the young kids. Well, the young kids don't. Coach them. It's like they want to surround themselves with people they don't have to coach because they've been on nine teams like a Nate Thompson has been. So he knows what it's all about. He knows about preparation. He knows about this. He knows about that. So I don't have to coach him. So basically you're just setting your lineup card every day and then, you know, going for a couple scotches after the game. Like, you got to coach. Coach. You know, you've been in the NHL for 25 years, so you are a smart guy. I agree. He's really good with the media. He's articulate, and not just in a way of, you know, dropping a few terms to make him sound smart. He's actually a smart guy. I do believe he's wedded to a style of hockey that is from a bygone era, and I don't understand these things, just as you said, that he's doing with some of these senior level guys, these veteran guys that can't play anymore at the expense of young guys. Like Logan Stanley, everyone thought he was going to be terrible. So Maurice goes, well, I'm going to play him. So everyone has a meltdown. They watch him for seven games. He's actually not bad.
He's pretty good. Maurice,
you know what? You're wrong. He's out. Get him out. He is actually good. But I don't know. It's confounding. But that is honestly what keeps me up at night, is that if we were to make a move, that it could easily get worse, and whatever the context culture is now, it could go south very easily.
Yeah, no, and I don't disagree. Everything can always be worse. But I think what was indicative of it, it's Blake Waller, right? Blake Waller's our captain?
Yeah. What do they call him on Sportsnet all the time? They get his first name wrong. It's not they call him Blake
Wheeler. Oh, do they? I haven't heard that.
Oh yeah, all the time on Sportsnet.
But Wheeler, like, not news. He got off to a really slow start. I don't know if he was injured or he was working himself into shape. What the case was, but you know, there was a lot of stats Twitter, and he had been on the ice for 5-on-5 goals. You know, about 75% of them. And he looked slower. You know, the eye test, he didn't pass either. And so, rightfully, the media was asking, like, what's going on with Blake Wheeler? He's been on the ice for a lot of these goals. Here are the stats. And Maurice's reaction was, and I get it to a certain extent, where it's like, you're coming after my captain. He's got, you know, it's been 10 games. He's got 9 points, whatever the numbers were. And it's like, no. Like, he was not only defending his captain, which, you know, again, I think is probably right, but he was doing it in a way where he's like, you know, and extrapolate that 9 points over a 72-game season, and that's, you know, 68 points. How can you guys go, like, I don't buy your numbers. And it's like, no, you're wrong. Like, he got 3 assists in a game, basically falling over on the power play. Like, he was playing terribly, objectively. Just defend your captain. Call it a day. It makes me think that, and I've seen a few clips of him talking about advanced analytics, and all of them are like, well, that stat could mean anything. And he did say at the end, you know, we use it as a tool, as any other tool that we have at our disposal. It goes back to the same principle where, and I think you nailed it, where it's like, I like Nate Thompson because I don't have to tell him a lot of stuff, and he's old school.
Yeah.
Full stop. And I'm at a stage with Jets fandom where if it's worse, okay. But I don't think it's going to get a lot better with him, and so why not? Like, what do we have, a 2-year window? Like, Wheeler's got millions of dollars left on this deal. I think he's probably got another good 2 years in him, and I think we got 2 years here to get her done, and I don't think he's the person for it. And if it gets worse, well, at least we took a shot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. It's just, I worry that there, you know, hockey circles are not overly encumbered with highly intelligent people. Like, it's not, you know, Paul Maurice is one of the few people that come off like, you listen to John Cooper, he does not sound like a professional hockey coach, right? He sounds like someone from a very different path in life. Most of them are the types of guys that, you know, you're not sure if they could really change the spark plugs in your car. But
I can't change the spark plugs in my car.
I'm, you know, because we have better things to do. We could.
Nope.
We're busy. Busy. So, no, I'm not a Paul Maurice apologist, but I do, you know, take note of a lot of these other coaches around the league, and I'm not sure we bring in, you know, someone that isn't older school. Like, who's a new school coach? Like, who's out there? Like, who's, you know, there aren't many of them. They're few and far between, and maybe that's why teams get stuck with bad coaches, because there aren't a lot of good new coaches. Like, most of the guys out there are old school guys, so... It's going to be tough.
And Claude Noel is out there.
Yeah, Claude Noel is out there.
We could get
him
cheap.
Only 3 years left on Wheeler's contract after this year at $8.25 million. Let's put that in. Where do you put that?
Is that in the asset column or the?
Oh, it's not converting to Canadian money. So, yeah. It's salary. Oh, he gets, after this year, he gets $10 million of salary. The cap hit is $8.25 million.
Ooh.
And Cap Friendly is not converting to Canadian currency right now. So, yeah, $10 million bucks next year for a power play specialist. And empty net.
You like empty net, but he does. He is good at hitting the empty net. He missed one the other day, I think, and I was like, if you're not hitting those, man, what are we doing?
That's his wheelhouse.
Can we renegotiate?
So what are your thoughts on the Jets D-core? You mentioned a couple of them already. This is obviously...
I'm higher... Sorry, I'm going to launch right now. I'm higher on... I think Pionk is fantastic. It was an exhibition game. And, you know, because everyone relates to their Twitter account. I was at the game, and his first shift, I tweeted about him. I was like, this guy's good. And he has... down moments, and he's, you know, undersized like most of our D, but I think he's been our best defenseman this year. I think Morrissey, again, like Wheeler, had a rough start, but I think he's turned things around. The rest has been a bit suspect. I don't know, like, do you think I'm wrong on Pionk? I enjoy his game a lot.
He's grown on me. He plays like he wants to be here. He has a little offensive flair. I mean, you can be critical about how he managed the point on the power play, but and I think that's valid. But he brings you know, some interest in jumping up at the play, getting involved, which I think when the Jets are playing really well, the defense does. I think we're a little bit better when the defense jumps up into the play. And he's willing to do that, and he brings that to his game. So I do think that, you know, that was he hasn't been the problem. I'm not, unfortunately, I haven't become a fan of his defense partner, Forbort. I don't think he has the foot speed to survive in the NHL.
Speedy? You don't like Speedy?
I don't like Speedy.
that guy is slow.
Yeah, you know, we're and DeMello's play. I think he was behind, right? Like,
he
was away from the game at the start of the season. So everyone's a step ahead of you. He's caught up. He's playing well. I don't love him on the third pair. I kind of get what we're doing, in the sense that we want to have one of our top three guys out there at all times, but that doesn't justify putting DeMello out there 11 minutes a night. I think what we've learned by watching Morrissey go through what he went through with Trouba, and then since that time, is that I think he's a really smart guy, and I'm guessing he needs predictability. He needs to, because he's thinking the game, he needs to understand where his partner's going to be all the time. And Tucker Pullman, for all his athletic ability, he's all over the place all the time. Like, he's like a, you know, a wet dog running through a house, and he's jumping on the couch and all this. And he does a lot of interesting things, but, you know, predictability is not one of the things that you can attribute as Tucker Pullman's strong point. So I think that's confusing for Morrissey. And I think, you know, DeMello is the right guy for him, but then you're forced with, you know, this, you know, table scraps third pairing. So you're either going to have to grind your top two defense pairings into the ground and only put the third pairing out sparingly, or there's somewhat of a little bit more balance between the three. And it seems like they've opted to go or strive for some balance in terms of minutes allocated between the three pairs instead of top load them. It's a work in progress. And the last thing I'll add before I turn it over to you is it's, and I've read this on Twitter, so I'm not claiming this is my own idea, but I do see it, is that they're almost being told to not jump up on the play as a general rule. And I think that's making the situation worse as opposed to better.
I agree.
I think that the times we are jumping up in the play and minding the gap and squeezing down in the offensive zone from the point to prevent easy breakouts is when we're at our best. But that doesn't happen very much.
Yeah, and so two things. The first, hockey related. The second, not so much. The first is, one of my thoughts is, like, what would be wrong with putting Pionk and Morrissey together and playing them 27 minutes a game, and basically being in a situation where, you know, other teams do it, and, you know, does it build rust on your other D's? Sure, but we're not, you know, we're top heavy in terms of talent, if we can even call it that. So that, like, that was my first thought, and you mentioned about a wet dog running in. Vaughn Mitchell is a very even-keeled individual, unless you get him in a fight situation. That might be for a later podcast. But the most disdain I've ever seen you have for me is, we were over at my brother's house, and we brought our dog, and our dog immediately came in and, like, ran through the house and knocked everything over. And you came, and I was, like, saying hello to everyone in the kitchen. You came into the kitchen, and you're like, Mike, your dog. And just the look on your face, and I was like, Vaughn might hit me. And I was like, I don't think you're a dog guy, are you? The snippings I've
not
seen.
Not a dog guy.
No.
Not a dog guy. No.
Yeah, there goes our sponsorships from Purina. So we've lost two already. But it's always stuck in my head where I was like, yeah, I think if I don't get my dog out of here, something's going to happen. I better do something.
I have no recollection of this, so it may not have happened.
More than likely it didn't.
No, it probably happened. One of the other things that I've noticed about the way sometimes our personnel is managed is that there's an eye towards the contract situation. And I'm wondering, again, no proof, I'm just wondering whether, you know, do we want to make a star of Neil Pionk? Because he's going into a contract year after this year. You know, we just signed DeMello 4 years at $3 million. We can bury him on the third line or on the third pair. You still there, Mike?
Yeah.
Right. I thought I lost you there for a second. We can ban him. Like, he's got nowhere to go. We can do whatever we want with Morrissey. He's here till 26, 27, you know. But we can't make Neil Pionk. We can't put him with Josh and make them the 27-minute pairing, because now when we sit down with Pionk to negotiate a contract after this year, and we do want to keep him, he's going to command $6 million instead of $4.5 million or whatever. And, you know...
You think that sounds conspiratorial. I like it.
Oh, I love a conspiracy theory.
Grassy Dolly.
Oh, very much so. And, I kind of saw it with Laine too. It's like he got 5 goals, and then all of a sudden the narrative was he needs to check more. You know what I mean? Like, he was a one-dimensional player. He was scoring a boatload of goals, and then he scored the 5 goals, and then the spigot just got turned off. It's like he needs to do this, he needs to do this, he needs to do this, and it was, you know, it's okay. It's all about his long-term progression, his long-term development, right? But part of me wasn't like, we can't have this guy score 65 goals in a contract year, because we're going to have to pay him $10 million, and we don't want to do that.
I like it. I don't know if I'm there with you, Nick Cage, but you know, it's not unheard of, and financially and organizationally, I think, you know, there's probably some truth to that. That's interesting. I don't really have a rebuttal, because, again...
There are no rebuttals, Mike, except it is fact.
You heard it here first. Giant Stonecutters conspiracy within the Jets organization.
But, you know, I'll tell you what, we've really opened our door to some sponsorship from Tinfoil Hats. there's a small shop down on Ellis where we could maybe get them to sponsor. So, Tinfoil Hats. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Vaughn, I want to... We're going to try some different stuff. I thought we might try a bit of trivia.
Okay.
I've pulled out... In my youth, I kept what were called the official guide and record book, the National Hockey League. And I had bought every one from probably 1982 to 1992. And for some reason, in my many moves with many boxes, I lugged these around. And I pulled this one out because it really is, you know, it's like the internet before the internet. It's got every stat that you want. But I found an interesting one, and I'm trying to think of the best way to frame it. So the Winnipeg Jets hold a team record, and it's a record for... goal scoring. Can you guess what that record is?
For goal scoring?
Yes.
They had 6 players score 20 or more goals, and I believe they were the only NHL team ever to have 6 players score 20 or more goals in a season.
I can't tell you, so you're very, very close. I can't tell you how impressed I am. You could have given me 14 days to do that, and I wouldn't have got close. It's 30 or more goal scorers one season.
Oh.
It was 6, and we hold the lead with 2 other teams. Can you guess those 2 other teams?
One would probably be Edmonton Oilers.
So that would have been my first guess. They have about 7 of those with 5. But not 6.
Really?
Yeah. They were top heavy.
Yeah, a bunch of jerks. Detroit Red Wings, maybe?
No. Think pre-Oilers dynasty. Who was ruling the day?
Oh, well, the Islanders?
Islanders. 77 to 78. And this one, I'll just say, because, again, the Buffalo Sabres. 1974 to 1975.
Oh, that would have been Gilbert Perreault, René Robert. Who else?
Oh, my goodness, Vaughn.
Had some,
look at you.
Gilles Martin. Well, they're French Connection, man. I had a poster of them when I was a kid.
Yeah, Rick Martin, René Robert, Gilbert Perreault.
Yeah.
Rick Dudley, Danny Gare. Wow. So, bonus question.
Rick Dudley, former Winnipeg Jet.
I know.
What number did he wear?
Oh.
He wore number 99.
No way. 100%. Are you kidding me?
I'm pretty sure he's the reason. I don't think anyone can wear 99 anymore for any team. And I think he's the reason, because he wore 99 for a while.
The balls. Can you imagine?
The minerals, as the English would say.
Wow.
He's got big minerals.
Bonus. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, do I get to give you a trivia question?
Yes, and I'm going to get it wildly wrong and look horrible after this. I didn't think you were going to do this well. But the last bonus question is, can you name the six Jets from the 1984-1985 team that scored 30 goals or more?
Okay, D.L. Hawerchuk.
Yep.
Brian Mullen. Paul McLean.
You got him. That's three.
I want to say I'm drawing a blank. I'm stuck on one guy, and his name. I want to say it's not Don Spring, because Don Spring played defense, but it's it's a name. You got me. I'm just gonna just
Thomas Steen, Laurie Boschman, and Dougie Smale with 31.
That's the guy I was stuck on. I think if I had got Dougie Smale, you know, I said Don Spring. Oh, if I got Dougie Smale, I maybe would have. I could have got Steen, but I don't think I would have got
Boston. I'm not blowing smoke for the purposes of. I'm genuinely impressed. Because I picked this out and I was like. Because I just stumbled upon it and I was like, well, this is fascinating. And then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, no, I do remember we had a lot of scorers. But kudos. All right, my turn to look terrible.
Yes. Okay, this is the Winnipeg Jets 2.0. Trivia question.
Okay. Antropov. Nick Antropov's the answer.
You're right. The question is the Winnipeg Jet, the only Winnipeg Jet in 2.0 history born in Kazakhstan.
Was that seriously the question?
Yes, that was going to be. Of course I'm going to make it Nick Antropov. Why wouldn't I make the answer Nick Antropov?
I totally redeemed myself.
Okay. What I should have asked is, you know, where was Nick Antropov born? That would have been a little bit harder. But yeah, I think we're going to have this each week. So my job, your job is to find interesting questions to try to stump me. My job will be find interesting questions whose answer will always be Nick Antropov.
Love it. And I think we've nailed our specialties, because I can tell right away that you're better at trivia than me. And if there's going to be a Nick Antropov question, it better come to me.
Absolutely. You're the resident expert on that, that's for sure. All right, thanks, Mike. That was awesome. And for you, thanks for listening. And make sure you join us next week in the Airport Lounge, because the first round is always on us. Until then, go Jets go.
Thanks, everybody.